Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
All right. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for being here today. We thank you for another day, another journey, waking us up this morning. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for life more abundantly. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your love and your care towards us, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your healing power, your mind regulator, your mind keeper. You keep our mental health strong, Lord. Lord Jesus, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that will rise against us in the day of judgment, you will condemn it, you will bring it to nothing. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for being God and God alone. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the fullness of the Godhead. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was made by him. And we thank you, Lord, for being our protector in these dangerous times and these troubled times, Lord. Lord Jesus, we take serious your Word of God. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Lord, we cherish your word. It's life in your word. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. It pierces to divide the soul and the spirit, Lord Jesus, the marrow, the bone. It just cuts, Lord, like a knife, God. And Lord Jesus, we are to live according to your scriptures, Lord. We love you today, Lord. We thank you for Bread of Heaven. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for just how you've been with us, Lord Jesus, from the beginning, God. Lord Jesus, we've seen a lot of things. There's been a lot of troubled days. But God of heaven, you're with us. You haven't given us no more than what we can bear, Lord Jesus. You've been with us every step of the way, Lord, and we magnify you. Somebody didn't make it the end of this month, Lord. Somebody didn't make it to the season, Lord, but we're here and we're grateful. We're just grateful. We're grateful, God, for what you've done for us, Lord. And we want to be appreciative for our life. The devil is a liar, ain't no truth in him. He's just a liar. He's a liar. He's seeking who he may steal, kill, and destroy. But greater is he that's inside of us. Oh, that Holy Ghost, that Jesus is in us than he that's in that world. Lord, we magnify you today, Lord. We call on your name. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless, Lord Jesus, all the saints of God, worldwide, nationwide, worldwide, universal, Lord. Lord Jesus, let us just continue to press on, press to the end. We're going to see what the end is going to be, Lord Jesus. You've been faithful to us, Lord Jesus. And I'm grateful, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. I don't want to come with trying to look smart or trying to show myself to like, ooh, look what I've done and look what I'm doing. Lord Jesus, everything is for you, Lord Jesus. We're nothing, Lord Jesus. We're nothing without you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just humble ourselves before you, God of heaven. Lord Jesus, we just thankful, Lord, how you keep us over the road. We get in our car and travel, Lord Jesus. You keep us from wrecks, Lord Jesus. You keep our minds, you keep our hearts beating where we're not having heart attacks. We're not having strokes, Lord Jesus. You keep us from danger, God of heaven. You just watch over us, Lord Jesus. As Pastor often said, we don't come with man's words. As Paul has said, we come with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We're not trying to put on no kind of air. It don't matter who I say I am. It doesn't matter what people think of me. All that is matter is my relationship with you, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, help me in this hour to teach this word, Lord. And bless the people at Bread of Heaven. I see great things going to happen at Bread of Heaven. Lord Jesus, I see expectation, Lord Jesus. I'm just excited about what you're going to do in all of our lives, Lord. You're going to bring back the backslider. You're going to bring in the sinner. You're going to bring in all those who are in need. You came to save the sinner. You didn't come. You came from the lost sheep of Israel. So we're all lost without you, Lord Jesus. Have your way in our lives, God, and bless us and keep us, Lord. And we just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if I prayed long enough. This is my first time, if I've ever talked. I believe I've said something before in the past, but it's been a minute. And I pray that I prayed long enough, Pastor. Because, you know, Pastor, he wants it done right. And I'm just grateful that the Lord gave me something to teach you all about. The Bible's so rich. It's wonderful. So I want you all to take yourself off of mute. I don't know how many people are online, but take yourself off of mute because I have a question to ask before I teach. And I don't want Pastor to answer, because if he answers, then you're not going to even hear an answer. And then, Pastor, I want you to answer if nobody else comes up with the answer, or if nobody even wants to answer, okay? So the question is there a difference between mercy and grace? And if so, what are the differences, even though they work hand in hand together? That's open for the floor. Anybody take a shot? No answer will be laughed at. We can't say no answer will be right or wrong, you know. But what is the difference between mercy and grace? Anybody want to take a shot at it?
I like to try. It's kind of hard. I've heard this question asked before. So mercy is like showing compassion.
Yes.
Towards someone.
Yes.
And grace. How can I? I don't know.
I just want to take a stab. Now you're close. Just the difference. What does mercy do? Take a shot. This is fine because I want everybody to think. So like,
I want to give a shot too.
Okay, give a shot.
It's mercy and what's the other?
Mercy
and grace.
They both really together, but what's the difference between the two?
Okay, so grace is like, to me, grace is every day. Every day you have grace. God gives you grace every day. When you get up in the morning, you got grace. He just because, you know, you can breathe, you can smell the air. God gave you grace. Mercy to me is when you've done something wrong and you asking him, Lord, forgive me. Don't hit me in the face for that because I deserve it. But because of your mercy, you might spare that time, that rebuttal or that endangerment. And the grace is like just every day. I mean, we're giving grace every day that we can even, like right now, I'm able to talk to you. That's because of grace. But if I wouldn't slap somebody in the face and then, you know, say, please don't slap me back. Please, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I lost my mind. Then I'm getting mercy. If they decide not to slap me back, if the Lord decides not to strike me down or whatever, that's what I think. So what do you, what is it?
It's true.
Gerald, this is Sister Carol. I kind of agree with both of them too, Renita, and I agree with both of them. But I think it's like mercy is like, so like if I could give you an example, so like if you wreck your parents' car, right? You went out and wrecked their car. You weren't supposed to drive it or anything like that. And then when you when you get back, right, they scold you for doing it, right? And mercy is giving you what you deserve because you actually wrecked it, right? So that's you got what's coming to you. But grace is kind of like, then next week, right, they buy you a brand new car, you know, just like the one that you just wrecked, right? And that's grace. You don't deserve it. You couldn't work for it. You did wrong when you wrecked it. But then by that grace, they came and gave you a brand new car, the same car. Now, that's grace.
Okay.
You didn't deserve that neither, but they gave it to you out of God's grace.
Okay. So this is what I got. And the pastor, if I'm wrong, you correct me. Mercy doesn't give you what you deserve. Mercy doesn't give you what you deserve, but grace gives you what you don't deserve. So Pastor Sister Renita was right.
Amen.
Mercy is really like, we're all guilty of sin because the penalty of sin is death. And so we're all guilty of that, but mercy, we're guilty. Like you kind of said it, Carol, but you said grace was that. But now mercy is that. It's the forgiveness. It's the atonement. It's the, it blotches out. We're supposed to die. We're supposed to have been on that cross. We're supposed to go to hell. But Jesus, he died for us for the penalty of sin. So that's what mercy is. When the Bible says, Matthew, the 5th chapter, 7th verse, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that word really means forgiveness. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. If you forgive little, you will receive little forgiveness. So mercy is, okay, let's just rehearse it. So, because somebody's going to ask you that question, because I'm going to tell you, it never even thought, until I studied this, I never even thought about it, because I think of the goodness and mercy and grace. Grace is everlasting life. He gives us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve the goodness of the Lord. But it's the grace of God. But the mercy gets us out of the, you catch what I'm saying? It gets us out of that marly clay. We were born into sin, and here comes mercy. And then once mercy comes, here comes grace. They work hand to hand. They don't mm-hmm. operate separate from one another. So, Pastor, I want to hear what you got to say after what I just said. You mute, Pastor. I don't hear you.
Okay.
I thought Elder Brasher was getting ready to say something.
Oh, anybody, one of the elders, any of the elders.
But basically, first of all, in terms of just talking, you can use them interchangeably. Mercy means you pardon.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve something bad.
Right.
God decides not to give you that. That's mm-hmm. mercy. Grace is when God gives you something good that you don't deserve. The classic definition of favor of grace is unmerited favor.
Yeah,
it talks about the affirmative things that God does for us and the blessing that He pours out on us that we don't deserve. And mercy is the wrath He doesn't give us that we deserve.
That's right.
Brother Brasher, you want to say something as well?
Yeah. One definition that I found a while back is that mercy is kindness that extends beyond what is fair. God's loving kindness that extends beyond what is fair. What is fair is if you've done the crime, you do the time. Whatever, you know, whatever the offense is, you suffer for it. David was an example of the mercy, because even though he committed adultery and basically broke every law, all of the Ten Commandments, he did the crime, but God's mercy extended beyond what was fair. The fairness was that he would be judged for what he did, because the penalty was to be stoned, the adulterer and the adulteress. And the Lord spared him from that. His kindness extended beyond what was fair. The grace of God, which brings salvation in the book of Titus, the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us. So grace, mercy doesn't deal with salvation. Mercy will not save you. It's the grace that saves us, that favor, the grace that extends to us, that saves us. And the other part of that grace, you know, we don't deserve it, but with the grace, the Lord makes us acceptable. He makes us acceptable. And inherent in grace, if you look into it, what inherent in grace is this thing called joy. Is this thing called joy? It's kind of interesting when you look into that, into the word in the Greek. Joy comes with grace. I was out of favor. Now I am in favor with God. And that's why I say, you know, when you get the Holy Ghost, God's grace, which brings salvation, that grace comes with the salvation. And there should be with it the joy of the Lord, the joy of my salvation. With grace comes joy with the salvation. That's what David said, you know, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And when people come and you know, there should always be joy. I've heard with a lot of people, and it'd be something, you know, they get it, they speak, it may not be, you know, there's an anointed tongue, and then when a person gets it, there's that joy that comes with the Holy Ghost. That joy that comes with that, with the grace that the Lord extends to us, that favor we don't deserve. All of, you know, there are some examples of it. That woman, I think somebody used that example, the woman who had many sins forgiven. She didn't deserve it. She didn't deserve it. And
okay. You're gonna have to stop because you about to teach my lesson, because that's exactly where I'm about to go.
You go ahead.
You
don't go, open it up to me no more.
The seventh chapter, okay. Because
go ahead.
Said we're gonna turn to the seventh chapter of Luke, and he's about to go on and teach. Look, I was gonna teach, but I'll let you teach it because you're a very good teacher. But that's exactly where I'm going. I'm going with the woman who was a sinner, and the seventh chapter, verse 36. Okay, was you through, man? Go ahead and finish. But you was touching on my story, so say something.
My brother, you go ahead, because I'm enjoying it already.
Okay,
you can't tell.
Chapter of Luke.
I'm enjoying you already.
And we had mentioned this consecration, and Pastor, he's so slick. I had talked about what the woman had done, but I didn't mention the alabaster. And he came in after me, and he brought up the alabaster box and all that. So yeah, let's go to 36, Luke 7. It says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, talking about Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping. And behold, to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with her hair on her head, and she kissed his feet. And can y'all imagine what was going on? She came and just, you know, she just came out here and just worshiped the Lord. And these people were trying to entrap Jesus. They didn't love him. They were like trying to figure out how can they trick him. So this woman came who was a sinner, and she kissed and anointed his feet with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. So I'm not sure if that's, he just said this to himself and Jesus knew his thoughts, or whether he uttered it soft. I just really don't know. Maybe you guys could tell me. So this man, if he was a prophet, he would have known who had and what manner of woman is this that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus asked and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. I kind of love the way they kind of talk to each other. And this was a certain creditor which had two debtors, one owed 500 pence and the other only 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he whom forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. And now he's bringing the accusation to, you know, he's just showing Simon what he didn't do and what this woman had done. And see, Simon was an upright man. He was a Pharisee. He paid his tithes. He didn't live according to what we know. You know, he didn't live wrong. He lived a good life. But this woman, she was a sinner, just a downright sinner. But she did some things that Simon didn't even think about. She says that he said, I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet. And he said it, and she have washed her feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair on her head. Then you know how these sisters, they get their hair fixed, they don't want you touching their hair. And this woman humbled herself. She was using her hair for a towel. And thou givest me no kiss. But this woman ceased from the time that I came in, have not stopped kissing my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman have anointed my feet with this ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And I'm going to bring a point. I'm going to bring this back. You know, y'all know I'm kind of different. So then they that sat at meat with them began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And then verse 50, and he said unto the woman, thy faith have saved thee. Go in peace. You know, everybody's talking about they got faith, right? And then they say, well, I'm saved. I believe in God. And then there's no action. There's nothing behind it. So the way my mind thinks, what if? It has a what if thought. What if she had just showed up and she acted indifferent? Or she rolled her eyes at God? Or she treated him very disrespectful or just unassuming? Didn't worship him. Just looked at him. And wasn't impressed at his presence. And do you think the God of our salvation would have said your faith have saved you? That your sins are forgiven? My point is, does God just forgive your sins just because you're a person? No, this woman, she had faith. He said her faith has saved her in verse 50. And so my point is, when you have faith, there's actions that's connected to your faith. You just can't say you have faith and there's no work behind it. This woman had did a lot of stuff during that time of Jesus's stay at this Pharisee's house. And it was through her faith, and it was also connected. Her faith caused her actions to worship Jesus. She was broken. He said, I will not despise and turn away a contrite and a broken spirit. I believe I'm quoting that correct. The Lord is tender towards us. And so I just wanted to make reference that it was her actions. It was what she did in the, at that dinner's place that delivered her. And you know, you could just say, I love the Lord, but what are you doing? You have to do something. If you love the Lord like you say you love the Lord, there has to be an action behind it. That's where I'm going to, because, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, we're under the dispensation of grace. Now, God's grace will do it all for us. So that's just one example that the Lord had given me. And then we're going to stay in the book of Luke. And I don't want to be too long because y'all know I can talk a lot. So the 8th chapter, the woman who had the issue of blood, and she was the 43rd verse, the woman having the issue of blood for 12 years. She was seen. She had spent all of her money, all her earnings upon doctors, physicians. Nobody could heal her. And so she came behind him and she touched the border. I think I may have skipped it, but in other words, she said in her heart, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So she got to the border garment. Immediately, the issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Says, when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, sayest thou, who touched me? Now that shows you the power of this woman's faith. Virtue actually took some out of Jesus. It was like an electrical shot, I guess I can imagine, or if I could just use an imagination, but it wasn't like a regular touch because people was all around it. But this woman's touch, this touch of faith, it ignited something in Christ when he wasn't even aware of what she was or where she was going. He just knew something. It's almost like, you know, something stung you. Something happened. He's like, well, who touched me? And then the woman, Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive the virtue is gone out of me. The power is left out of me. And then the woman saw, and she was not hid. She came trembling. She was falling down before him. She declared it to him before all the people for what cause that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And then Jesus said, I want to go back to showing y'all something. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace. So don't run around saying you got faith. You got to do something and act upon faith, because faith is an action. And I'm not going to go too deep into Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a Jew, and he was very short. And we know the story of Zacchaeus. And he's also in the 19th chapter of Luke. And I'm just going to summarize him. And he was a tax collector. He was hated by the people because he was evil. He was crooked. He stole from the people. And he just was a bad man. He was very wealthy because he was, you know, it was just like nothing worse than being a Jew that would collect for the Roman or whoever was in charge and collect taxes for them. And so they did not like him. So he was a little man. He climbed on top of a sycamore tree so he can view Jesus. That was an action. Now, had he acted indifferent, oh, this Jesus, oh, he's a fraud, blah, blah. No, he responded with faith, and he couldn't see. And he didn't even say, oh, I would love to see Jesus, but everybody's in my way. Lord, why am I so short? I'm a little man. But no, he made an opportunity. He gathered an opportunity, climbed up a tree, and he saw Jesus over all the people looking at him. And Jesus looked up and said, hey, I'm going to come to your house. He called him out. And he wasn't a good man when he called him out. He wasn't a good man before he entered to his house. And Jesus, being the smooth character of the God of class, the God of love, God of compassion, God who was so intelligent, he was awesome. So he came to his house. He began to tell about a parable. And the parable is real deep. I don't really want to go into it, but it's like three servants, and that the king was having to go away, and he left them like 110, 1:5 and 1:1, something like that, according to money. And I'm sure if I studied like I like to study stuff, I'll tell y'all the depthness of it. But anyway, the other two, they multiplied their money. But the third one, he said, I heard you was a hard taskmaster. You was shrewd. You was mean. And he said, I was scared. So I took my portion. I put it in a napkin. So I only have one. I didn't multiply anything. So he told this parable. Somehow it ignited something. And Zacchaeus was like, once again, faith is an action. He said, Jesus, I'm going to pay the people who I stole from four times for what I took from them. I'm going to give them half of my earnings, and I'm going to pay back the people. I mean, there was action involved. He was a man of faith, but he just wasn't, you know, and a lot of times in the world that we're living in, the culture that we're living in, everybody's saved. Everybody know Jesus. I mean, and they're all into different stuff and different doctors and doxologists, and the way they look at stuff is, oh, you know, I know Jesus. But when you know the Lord, you will act upon your faith. So I want to talk about that. And I said, well, what's the Hebrew word? I think Brother Brash talked about the Greek. You know, I what's the Hebrew word for grace? And it says just simply chin. And it means favor, beauty, and delight. And I just love that grace, the grace word. And so in my studies, the Bible says in Romans, the 6th chapter, says that the wages of sin is death. Says, but the gift of God is eternal life. So it does, it works hand in hand. I don't really know if I confused the people more than I needed to. I thought it was a difference. The way I looked at it, I thought mercy was a blot. It was a subtraction. It took away what we deserve. We deserve hell. And I saw grace as an addition. It gives us more than what we deserve. And I know I don't deserve God's grace, but he gives it to me. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'm about done. I ain't going to be long. Says, by grace, when Paul, he had a thorn in his side, and we don't really know what it was. It's some kind of physical thing. Somebody said it was his eyes, and somebody else said, you know, different translators say, concordance say different stuff. But it was a buffer. He had a Satan that buffered him, that beat on him daily. And whatever it was agonized, and he asked God to deliver him. And then Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he gave two things I thought was very key. He said, my power is perfected in weakness. And the second thing, that the power of God will rest upon you, Paul. See, when you're going through stuff and you're saying, Lord, why? Ooh, I don't like this. This hurts. I don't like this. Lord, take this from me. Take this from me. And, you know, that's what them boys was asking the disciples, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And the mom said, well, let one of them sit on your, you know, when you get to your kingdom, let my boys both sit on your side. And he said, it's not for me to give. He says, but my father, he said, I can't even do that. And then he said, can you drink from the cup that I drank from? They said, yeah, we can drink from the cup. They didn't even know what they was asking for. Because Jesus' cup is bitter. It was tormenting. It was full of suffering. Because he was here to die, to be that perfect sacrifice. And the blessings and the healings and the deliverance and the knowledge and the preaching was really extra. And he lived a life. And, you know, I'm going to study this because, you know, the way I think, you know, Jesus was talking about, I think, one of the Herods and then one of the kings, somebody who was up in leadership. And he said, they found no gall in my mouth. So I want to study that. So my thought of is they couldn't mark Jesus. They couldn't say, yeah, we saw him down there fighting and cussing down there with one of the harlots down there. You know, they couldn't find nothing wrong. Everything he did. And they came at him daily. But yet, and he knew they didn't like him. He every now and then he'll cut one on them. He'll say, your father's killed the prophets. He called his sons of serpents. And every now and then he'll get on them and let them know, I know who y'all are. And these were the religious men of the time. They were running stuff. They were running religion. And the laws and all the old stuff. So what the Lord just showed me, the power of mercy and grace, thank you, Jesus, and mercy, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Will times be hard sometimes? Yep. Will you cry sometimes? Yep. Will people die in your life and you get hurt and bite? And yep, all these things. But you know, I love what Paul says. He says, I won't let nothing separate me from the love of God. And he began to name angels. He began to say death or life. He began to just name all the stuff that can separate you from God's love. And that's all the devil's doing. He tries, you know, this is us in my hands. It's like we tight with God and he's just trying to pry us away from God. He just tries to pull us away, because once he pulls us away from him, he's the root of everything. Then we're left on our own. Then we feel despair. We feel depression. We feel sorry for ourselves. But as long as we're embraced in God's word. Now, I want to ask one more question, then I'm done, Pastor. And then you can probably critique me later personally, tell me what you shouldn't have done. But I want to ask, can grace be lost? Or is grace forever? Can grace be lost? So unmute your phones. Anybody want to answer that? And then I'm done. And I'm going to leave it up to the pastor to teach.
Right here. I got it. I think grace can be lost.
How?
Because.
You're right. But how?
Because I think, you know, like even on our journey, when we get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, a lot of churches think once saved, always saved.
Right.
But not so, because you got to continue to live that life. You got to continue to, if you fall down, pray to get back up. You can't just fall down and stay down and then think because his grace is sufficient that you can live on yesterday's grace. You have to live on his continual grace. That means you have to continually pick yourself back up, keep going. And what is it? The mark of the, no, let's see, the pride. Oh, I can't think, but I always say it and then I can't think of it now because I'm tired. But it means to just
lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh.
Mm-mm. Just keep on doing what you need to do to be saved. Don't let your eye off the prize. Yeah.
Press toward the mark.
That's the trick. Press toward the mark of the high calling. Like if you slip this way, get back. You know, and that's what the thing is. A lot of times we don't, when you slip and fall, you manage yourself, you know, and then you feel like, well, can't get it back, but you can. You just forgive yourself because God forgives you. Ooh, he's so good. Just like you said, Brother Gerald, you have grace, but you gotta ask for it. And you gotta, what you said, work for it. Not work for it. Have the heart for it, maybe.
I was just saying, faith is connected to actions.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That faith part. I left that out.
Okay.
Can I add? I agree. Yes, faith can be lost, and I'm always reminded of sorry, y'all hear Samantha. Romans 1. And I just looked it up. Let me get to it. Romans 1. Verse 28 says, and even as they did not, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to those things which are not fitting. Then verse 32 says, and knowing the judgment of God, that those who commit such things, he was going through all the list of sins and the things God hate, commit such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but have pleasure in those who do them. So, yes, I do believe grace can be lost based off biblical scripture. Amen.
I like that, Beth.
This is Sister Carol. I agree with that, too. Yeah. Matter of fact, if we were going to the same scriptures, I was in Romans 28, it's the same thing that she said, that they didn't want to retain him in his knowledge. And God just gave them up and everything, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents. And said, God gave them up.
Amen. Amen. That concludes my lesson today. Turn over to the hands of our pastor. Thank you all for being involved. I know it's unorthodox, you know, but I just feel like
Great teaching, Elder.
You did a good job, Brother Gerald.
Thank you.
Great job.
We enjoyed your Bible study.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And it was anointed. And you didn't, you came with at a different angle. It was unique the way you taught it and very powerful.
Thank you.
I remember the scripture where it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And it says, God forbid.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, amen. That scripture too.
Going back. Y'all can stay off mute because I want y'all to direct some of y'all comments to our teacher tonight. But he mentioned at least three stories. The woman with the alabaster vase, the woman with the issue of blood, Zacchaeus climbing a tree. And I have preached in the past from the story with the woman with the alabaster box, the topic, no kiss. When we come into the presence of the Lord, when we come into the sanctuary, that's why sometimes I get, I make a comment, y'all don't look at me like I'm a bump on the law. Where's the kiss for the Lord when you come into the sanctuary? And in all three instances that he did, the people did things that did not bring glory to them. You know, it was embarrassing for this woman to be kissing his feet. Her glory was her hair, and she was using it as a towel. Touched the hem of his garment. She had to come in, kind of hustle and bustle her way through the crowd, perhaps on her knees. Touched the hem of his garment, a lower part of his outfit, and then virtue went out. She didn't even really want to say anything. She really would have been happy just to touch the hem of his garment, get healed, and go unnoticed in the crowd. But people were, Elder Jackson brought out, so they were bumping up against Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're praying, we just bumping up against Jesus. We come to the church, we just bumping up against. Ain't no virtue coming out. No power, no healing strength. Hallelujah. Because we ain't coming the right way. He talked about the power of faith, and that faith will get you to do something. And it might get you to do something that doesn't look glorious. And here's this grown man, probably a man of some money, because he's a publican. And he's climbing a tree like a child, like a monkey, right? That's not something that brings him glory. Your faith will sometimes take you into a situation where you look kind of like stupid, doing something that doesn't bring glory. But your faith makes you do it. It propels you to it. The love you have for the Lord. And this woman kissing his feet. Also, it cost her something. That ointment costs something. That alabaster box, which is porcelain, it had value. Hallelujah. She spent money to do this and to come into a hostile house. Hallelujah. Where they had a bad opinion. And it doesn't feel bad, y'all. Human beings. Now, we go somewhere, you know the people don't have a high opinion of you. It feels bad, I'm telling you. And I don't know. Elder Jackson just brought it out so uniquely and beautifully. And I thank the Lord for him, because he's letting the Lord use him just with what he's got. He's not trying to be like any other preacher. And God is blessing his words. So act upon your faith. Paul said, well, one scripture that makes me think is Paul's. I don't know what it is. I'm not pretending to know it. But he was talking in one of his letters. He said, you would have plucked out your eyes for me. You loved me so much. That gives the implication that maybe he had a visual problem. We don't know. We don't know. That's the bottom line. We don't know. But it was, I tell you what we do know, that it was a messenger of Satan that buffeted him. So we know that. We can speak boldly about that. That's clear. As to how it was manifested, particularly, we can make guesses, but we don't know. The scripture does not tell us on that. God's grace is forever. His favor toward us doesn't have to be. He's sovereign. We can fall from grace, usually through disobedience. But God knows how to leave the door ajar, like the prodigal son. When he came back, the elder son was, he was just ugly. We might use a term like acting like a hen, but we ain't gonna say he was acting like a hen, you know. And he wouldn't go into the party. His daddy, the source of all of any kind of inheritance he would ever get, asked him to come in, invited him. But you could tell toward the end of the chapter, the dad was still leaving the door ajar. And that's how God is, right? If you repent, you can get back in. You can get that favor again. You can get grace poured out on your life. But this was really beautiful. And I liked how he brought out the conversation he had with these Pharisees in this house. I'm going to stop right there, because I know that something I said has triggered Elder Jackson and maybe other people on the call. And so I've said my piece. I just asked for 5 minutes at the end. I've just used that 5 minutes. So go ahead.
Go ahead. You're saying good stuff.
Okay. We don't want to just bump up against Jesus. We want to pray fervently, the fervent, effectual prayer. And we don't want to just be bumping up against the Lord. As everybody in that crowd had a need. The fact that they were a human being and living had some kind of need. But from what we can tell, the only need particularly met in that field was this woman with the issue of blood. And I've talked some about in the past about the hem of his garment. She didn't actually touch Jesus. And we as the saints ought to be the hem of the garment for those who have their issues. She had an issue of blood, but people have all kinds of issues. And we should be the hem of the garment. We should be the outposts of the glory of God. We should be the ambassadors, the conduits through which. There are two, there are probably many ways this word can be, but two ways this word comes to mind at this moment, current. And they both provide a picture of the power of the Holy Ghost, the current that is the electrical current, the power current, and the current of the water, right? There's a current in a river. There's a current in water that is not stagnant. There's a flow to it. Hallelujah. And Jesus spoke of the Holy Ghost as, out of your belly shall flow rivers, or a current of living water. And we have to make sure, hallelujah, that we humble ourselves enough that we act out our faith. Hallelujah. Faith without works is dead. Between the author and the finisher of our faith that Jesus does, we got to do something in between that. And so that we tap into the current, hallelujah, by faith, touching the hem of his garment, going boldly to the throne of grace, praying for real. It doesn't have to be a loud prayer. It doesn't have to be a prayer that's full of pretty words. It could be I said at my brother's service, most powerful prayer I ever heard, he was just praying softly at my mother's grave. But it was real. He was pouring out, hallelujah, of all stuff that may have been built up, but coming to our mother's grave, hallelujah, brought some stuff to the forefront. And he put it before the altar. And I'm sitting there as his brother praying with my head down. And he's praying this unbelievable prayer. Hallelujah. Because, praise God, he was pouring out. He wasn't holding back. And his voice was not much louder than a whisper. So it's not the theatrics. Sometimes God will give you. I do it when I'm preaching. Lord gets with me and I get louder or whatever. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's not necessarily the alpha and omega of whether somebody is anointed or not. And so whether the power of God is on them, even if it may not be in them, the power of God can get on people who you least perhaps expect. And God is able to do great things. So faith is powerful. This was a much needed lesson for Bread of Heaven. All right, I'm turning back over to Elder Jackson or anybody else who wants to have this. And Elder Jackson, you're in charge of closing out in prayer or asking someone to close out in prayer. But I do want to throw it back to you so that you could get the time that I had. Okay. Told you that you had.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to do it. I take it serious. You know, anytime you got to, you know, present stuff to the Lord. I if you notice, I did a measure of trying to study. I just didn't want to say anything to God's people. I enjoy it. When you read and that's what I missed when I was a preacher. If you're going to preach, you got to study the Bible. And so the Bible, it's weird about preaching. You're helping people, but it's really helping you. You're preaching to the people, but God is really talking to you. You know, it's weird. His word is that powerful. And I just thank God for Bread of Heaven. I have a different attitude than I had last year towards the church, towards my pastor, towards the people. You know, the devil's just slick. He's slick. He'll talk to you. He'll say weird stuff. And he'll have you believe in stuff that's not even, it'll be all in your head. And I think I've just been delivered from that. And I'm happy. And I'm grateful to just do my part. I don't want to be I don't want to act like a Jezebel, you know. You know what? When I was in college, and it's just everywhere. I would be in college in certain classes at TSU, and if the teacher wasn't strong enough, he always had a student in the class that thought he knew more than the teacher. Yeah, do y'all, all you guys who went to college, you've experienced that, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, and they was annoying. And they would just be so annoying. They'd be like, I always try to challenge the teacher. The teacher is a doctor, and they got that doctorate, but now I know more than, and it was annoying, and they were like a king in their own head. And I don't ever want to do that. I don't ever want to be like, I don't challenge. You can always tell it's people like that. They just always want to challenge authority. And I just want to just not be that way. And if you just honor God's word, you won't be that way. And you just try to be humble and just grateful for whatever situation. You know, I had a big old house, you all. My house was big. It was, if it wasn't big as Russell's, it was bigger than, it was big as Russell and Renita's, if not bigger. We had a big old house. Every house was a mansion. And on that, and now I'm living in a townhouse. It's humbling. And Russell said one time, I don't mean to call you Russell, because you know you just Russell to me sometimes. But Russell said, to be humble is to be humiliated. And God just wants to bring you down so that you can be saved. So telling me, he said, Gerald, if you want to die, you got to die. Who's talking?
Your sister, go ahead.
If you want to live, you got to die. And he keeps telling me that. You got to not love your life. If you want to save your life, you got to not. And so the Lord keeps showing me all these scriptures. And it means if you die to this world, the devil has nothing to bargain you with. If you die to this world, he can't bargain nothing. That's what he did when he took Jesus up on them hills, showed him all those pinnacles and places. Look, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. He couldn't bargain with God. He couldn't bargain with Satan, couldn't bargain with him. And so we enjoy the comforts of life. We love having, like, I like driving a nice car and I like nice things, but that's not the essence of life. You know, my friend, she was so beautiful, Sharon, and then I'm done. And I think I'm going to end unless somebody want to say something. My friend Sharon, she lived on Renita Russell Street. They had a big old house. We graduated the same year. We went to high school together. And Sharon looked just like she did in high school. 62 years old, and she looked like she did in high school. And had a big old house. She was married, had a nice family, her son had passed, and now she's gone. And so we just got to thank God for every day that we get to breathe, that we get to right our wrong. You know, we got to thank God for every day. We are so blessed. Brother Brasher, you're so blessed. You're supposed to be gone. But you're here. You're doing God's work. Even when you're sick, you do God's work. Carolyn, you're here. You're pressing on. And I just want to encourage everybody. And look, it took me to be broken to even talk like I'm talking. You got to be broken all the way down, because nothing really matters but your soul. Even if I die, that's why I read that scripture. You know, I tell on myself when I said I was gonna hook up with this girl, and I read the scripture, and he said, "Don't fear the one that's able to kill you." So we don't need to fear cops. We don't need to fear death. He said, "Fear the one that's able to kill you, which is God, and put you in a hell." That's all. We want our souls to be saved. We want to love the Lord, not out of fear. Love him out of love. Serve him out of love. And that's my ending. So if anybody want to say anything, and if they don't, we can end it in a prayer. Sister, who wants to do it? Ether Britt, you on the line? If Britt's on the line, he can end us off with a prayer.
Praise the Lord. I don't want to pray or anything right now. But I just want to say, now, I'm not saying I just don't want to pray right now. But I just want to say that I really you know, enjoy the message. And I was just sitting back and listening to it and just taking it in. And it's a blessing, you know, to hear you deliver the words that God has given you to bless us, because sometimes, you know, we all go through different things and to bring us to the point where we are. But when somebody, you know, like when you come forward and you tell how broken you've been in life, and you've been here at the church for years, you know, in our church for years, and you know, and everything looked well. But I'm just saying, for you to just, you know, just come and just be honest, you know, because that you just don't know how many people need to hear stuff like that. Because sometimes people feel like they, you know, aren't good enough for the Lord. But sometimes the Lord have to bring you down in order to raise you up. Amen. And so it was, you know, I was just, like I said, just sitting back, just taking it in, and I really enjoyed it. And I've just, you know, we all would just continue to pray for you and continue to pray for each other. You know, lest we fall, and just be grateful that, you know, you're a man of God and you're doing what you know God has asked you to do, and you're blessing so many people.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brother Gerald, I agree with Sister Karen too. Everything what she said about you, it was a good message. I enjoyed. I appreciate your honesty, how you give examples of yourself. You know how we have to be broken and everything, because we all I had to go through the same thing what you're going through and everything. But sometimes people, they don't talk about that, you know, with such honesty and stuff. But you keep it honesty, you keep it real, and I really appreciate that. And I can relate to it too and everything. And you did a good job, a good message. I enjoyed the word and everything. And whoever prays, I know it's not gonna be Sister Karen, but I have a prayer request. Tomorrow I go to see this specialist, you know, with their cardiologist tomorrow. I gotta be there at 12 o'clock. I gotta ride on the bike and all this stuff, and then see the doctor at 3. And so if y'all would just pray, you know, that what they trying to label on me is not gonna be there, that I'm gonna get a good report from the doctor. That's what I'm believing, and that's what I'm praying for. Despite the odds, the doctors don't have the last word. Jesus does.
Yes, yes. If Brett is not on the line, then
he's on.
Oh, okay.
He was saying that.
He was trying, sister.
Well, get Sister Karen.
The holding, are you on? Okay, I'll turn it back to Gerald. You designate somebody. He was
Elder Brasher.
I wanted to say, Elder Jackson, I appreciate you. I appreciate you going forward with the teaching. I appreciate you going forward with your ministry, because you got a very powerful, impactful ministry. You're anointed, and the Lord's not going to give up on you. Gifts and callings come without repentance. The Lord is not gonna regret that He called you.
Amen.
And He's gonna do everything He can to get you back, because you're valuable in the kingdom. You're valuable to us. You're valuable to me. And I sure appreciate everything, you know, things that you said and the whole lesson. It was anointed and it was good. So I do appreciate you, my brother. I hope you know that. I love you, and all of God.
So you say something, it's real challenging, because, like, you're real smooth. You're real good in your teaching, like, and that's why I just have to travel in my own vein, because you have a style, and then Pastor, he's real intelligent. So I just got to be simply me. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And I just thank God for you all. But you know, I would really struggle if I tried to act like Brett.
Well, everybody's got a uniqueness. Everybody has a uniqueness, and that's part of your ministry. Everybody, you have a uniqueness. It's a good thing.
Hey, Joe, before we have a breakfast,
Brent's taking his call. He's taking his power back, Brother Brown.
No, he wants to make a remark.
Oh, okay.
He can go and pray. I just want to say something. Good, you keep it up. Keep up the good work and let the Lord use you like he did tonight. I was trying to, I kept hitting the wrong button, so that was my fault. to get off mute. So, but anyway, it was an excellent lesson. You've done a great job, and God is blessing.
Thank you.
God bless.
Teaching taught me humility, because Elder Jackson, and I ain't got there yet, but I've laid a whole lot of goose eggs teaching. I'm telling you, I've gotten up there with nothing, you know, and wish I could just run out the sanctuary. So teaching will teach you humility. So I do thank the Lord for the work that he does on all of us. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and the help that you give us, Lord, every day. We thank you for all that you do, Lord, everything that you have done for us in 2025 up to today, April the 23rd. Almost hard to believe the time has moved so fast. And Lord God, help us to redeem the time, as you said in your word, because the days are evil. Lord God, help us, Lord God, to just seek you every day. Lord, help us, Lord, to be a help to somebody. Just, Lord, use us to minister to someone. Lord, if it's just an encouraging word to somebody who nobody's even spoke to the whole week, Lord God, if we can just say something that touches their heart and their mind, to Lord God, to boost them, to give them a little more strength to go on further. Lord God, just bless us with that kindness that you have. Lord God, that loving kindness that you have, Lord. We thank you for the word tonight, Lord God, that reached all of us. And Lord God, made us all think, Lord, about the great forgiveness that you've extended to all of us. Lord God, the sins were many in my life. Lord, and I do thank you. And we, Lord God, we ask you to be with us the rest of this week. Lord God, we ask you to heal those that are sick among us. Lord God, that need, Lord, your healing virtue to extend to them. Lord, like the woman touched the hem of your garment, and like you reached out and touched so many people that were sick. Lord God, those of us that are sick, Lord, reach out and touch us. Remember, Brother Mike Holden is in the hospital. Lord, continue to heal his body and bring him, Lord God, make him better each day. And Lord God, while he's going through this, Lord, let him have a praise in his mind and his heart for you. Because, Lord, like so many of us, we didn't have to be here. Lord God, we could be on the other side. But, Lord God, we thank you for each other. We thank you for Bread of Heaven. Lord God, we thank you for our pastor. Lord God, continue to bless him and strengthen him day by day. You see the load. You see the load that he has. Lord God, so help him to bear all of the things that he has to do. Lord, we thank you. We love you so much. And all those that are going through things, Lord God, that are calling on you, Lord God, privately. Lord God, you hear those things in secret that we're praying. Lord God, in the deliverance and the answer, Lord God, will be shown openly. Lord, we thank you. We love you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Everybody have a blessed night in Jesus' name.
All right.
Love you with the love of Christ.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Appreciate it.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread. Living Bread. Please spread the word about today's broadcast. Living Bread. The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.